Over a week ago, last, Gary Cantrell surprised us all and had the Barkley Marathon start at 3 o'clock in the morning. I only found out about it because I went on to Instagram. For some reason, I saw that Courtney DeWalter was posting that she was starting soon, and it was off. I ended up, people only finished two laps, and so there are no finishers. Somebody did do the fun run. Two guys finished the fun run, but there are no finishers once again. And so I had quite a few comments and people appreciating it that I was doing the posting when I went on Twitter. And basically every lap I would do tweets that I've refining around about what's going on in the race and was posting that. And it was really great and fun to do. So some of the comments are asking more information about this race. And of course, many of you probably seen the Netflix documentary, but there are some things you need to know about the Barkley Marathons, one of the craziest races out there. And it's basically, you know, understood as one of the hardest races in the ultra world, created by founder Gary Lazarus Lake Cantrell. The race provides one of the most grueling ultra marathons ever created. Here's what you need to know about the mysterious race that takes place in the hills of Tennessee. Now, I haven't been to, my nose is itching. I haven't been to Frozen Head, but I did go to his race for ages. And it was pretty hot and humid there. And of course, his big backyard, all these races are in Tennessee. And I have been, you know, to Western States, Crew to Pace, been to Tahoe 200, Crew to Pace, Angels Crest, San Diego 100. And I was very fortunate to pace and crew about 50, 60 miles. Well, I walked 50, 60 miles of Badwater. And I'll tell you, I did Badwater in 2018 with my friend Carla Kent, helped her finish. And then a month or so later, 2 months later, I went to Tennessee to do the Race for the Ages. And it was hotter. It was hotter at Tennessee than at Badwater. So my experience, like I said, I haven't been to actually Frozen Head, but I can pretty much tell you that Barclays is definitely the hardest race out there. It's far harder than Badwater. Of course, you know, because Badwater has a really high finish rate. They have 100 people in the race, and usually 70-80% of the people finish. You get a pretty good time. You know, you got a big time limit, and also, you know, you've gotten all these friends and family out there, and they're going to definitely support you. And it's basically, you know, just got to be tough and just keep moving forward. Where Barclays, you got to be tough, but you got to know how to get around the woods and all that kind of thing. So it's far more hard. It's, you know, orienteering, sleep deprivation, taking care of yourself, and just keep on grinding, keep on grinding. So the history is, in 1977, James Earl Ray, who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr., escaped from the Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, and a massive manhunt took place for 2 days, but Ray only made it roughly 8 miles through the hills and backwoods surrounding the prison before being caught. Uninspired by the low mileage of the criminal, Cantrell believed he could make it 100 miles in the mountains around the penitentiary. Thus, Barkley was born. The name is said to come from Cantrell's neighbor, Barry Barkley. The reason for this is unclear. First official running of the race was in 1986. So obviously, if you're going to try this race, you probably need to go to Frozen Head and go traipse around there. But many of us can't do that, or people who've run the race haven't. So course knowledge is something, that is, you know, difficult to come by unless you go out there and train on the course or go out there and compete from year to year. And so a lot of times the really good elite athletes stick together, and they often stick with somebody who's done the course this in the past. So like this year, Jared Carr, Campbell had a guy following him. And then, of course, Jamil was out there with Courtney and Maggie. And Jamil's been out there many times. So it's not well known. But for the main reference, you should know it takes place in Cumberland Mountains with Frozen Head State Park, which is in Wattenburg, Tennessee. From there, all you need to know is it takes you through parks more of 24,000 acres by the close Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary up and over Vicket Terrain and Switchbacks. You must complete 5 loops of the course to earn the title of Barkley Finisher. The distance for each is about 20 miles, according to Cantrell, though runners often dispute the claim, saying it's roughly a marathon. And in effect, it's easy to go off course, and you can see how it becomes longer. And what people have been talking about, he makes the race harder and harder each year as well. Elevation is one of the most notable challenges of the race. Total elevation gain of 60,000 feet if you complete all 5 loops is the equivalent of climbing Mount Everest. Being in the woods and often off of blaze trails, runners are subject to thorns, briars, and other unpleasant plants to run through. Runners often return from a loop battered and cut up. And yeah, it's interesting to see Courtney wearing the long pants. I've been at Desert Solstice 24. I was at the Riverbank 24-hour race where Courtney set the American record in the 24-hour race. And so I've always seen her with her big baggy shorts, something that I've always worn myself. And so it was kind of interesting to see Courtney at the Barclays wearing long pants. It's almost like seeing me in long pants. In fact, I didn't race in long pants for 40 years, but then I spent one winter there across the years in a 6-day race in 2014, and I was so cold that I definitely bought, in the following year, I was actually wearing sweats, long pants in the race. So I can totally see that. But this race, you definitely got to have some covering, and everybody's using trekking poles as well. And it was interesting. Some old school runners in Bakersfield, in the world, the internet, just hate poles. And it's just amazing how they get so upset seeing people using poles, which is interesting because, you know, in Europe and Asia, people use poles and ultras all the time. As I said earlier, the race usually happens first weekend of April, but it's been thrown in March before to throw off spectators. Only races are allowed on the course, meaning spectators are quarantined to only two spots, while crews must wait at the campground near the Yellow Gate and Frozen Park and wait for their runners to return. And I know, like I said, in the past few years, they've had difficulties with people kind of going out there and mobbing it a bit. So it's definitely something we don't want to have happen. I know when I've done Badwater, there's a pretty strict rule about people going out there and spectating as well, you know, because you endanger their permitting process and all that kind of stuff. It says here in the race history, it's been canceled twice. I guess in 2000, there was a political thing that kept Frozen Head from being used. And then, of course, last year with 2020, the pandemic, it was canceled. And he said Cantrell had indicated that plans to hold a safe version of the Barclays Marathon, COVID-19 protocols in place, and he definitely got it to go. A viewer asked about the books, and so this article I found has some nice information on that, how the race works. Start time occurs between midnight and noon, usually on Saturday. Our racers are never told when the race will officially start. The only indication they receive in the start time is Cantrell blowing a conch shell, which could come in the middle of the night to signify that the race will start exactly in 1 hour from that time. Once the hour is up, runners line up the Yellow Gate at the campground within Frozen Head Park, and then Cantrell lights a cigarette, then starts the race along with the clock. Participants have 60 hours to complete the race. That is a hard cutoff, as learned by Gary Robbins, who appeared to be 6 seconds off the cutoff in 2017. It was later deemed that Robbins came in from the wrong direction, and I do remember that. And speaking of Cantrell, and I've talked about this before, he definitely likes to smoke. I went to the 6 Days of the Dome in 2014, and he was, of course, there supporting Joe Feagis, who did get the American record. And it was just super hot and humid in there. Of course, all these guys from the East Coast didn't mind it, but I'm living in Bakersfield, it's a desert. And so after a day or two, I realized the only cool place was to go out and lay in the parking lot or the sidewalk in the parking lot of this big gym. So I'd go outside and lay down on the parking lot pavement or the sidewalk, actually. And more than likely, there'd be Gary sitting there smoking outside. So he definitely likes his cigs, which is interesting being a runner. In fact, he's going across country again, I believe. And so to complete the race, you must complete 5 loops of the course. First two are often done in the same direction, like clockwise. The second two are in the opposite direction. It can be one on the, and then the final loop, it's just, dealer's choice. You get to decide. And if there's more than one person in the race, the first person in gets to pick the direction they're going to go, and the other person has to go the other direction. So you can kind of team up for the first 4 laps, but then you're on your own on that last lap. So each loop must be done in 12 hours to do the full course, unless you're attempting a fun run. That's 3 loops with a time limit of 13 hours, 20 minutes, 40 hours total, which is what ended up happening this year. We had 2 athletes do a fun run. And runners must touch the gate, the Yellow Gate, as they leave for each loop. When they complete a loop, they must touch the gate again to officially finish. Once touched, they go to their crew and recover. The faster you finish a loop, the more time you theoretically have to recover. If you finish a loop 1 in 10 hours, you have 2 hours until you have to start your second loop if eyeing a chance at the full course. When a racer is ready to go back out, they receive a new bib and touch the gate to start again. And of course, the bib is very important in this race. It doesn't have a chip on it. It does not track the runner or the splits. Rather, each loop requires runners to make it to various points in the park. At these checkpoints, books are books that Cantrell has placed there. Your bib is the page number you need to rip out of the book. Typically, 9 to 11 books are placed in the woods. If you're missing a page, then you didn't officially complete a loop. There is one map, the start line, for runners to copy. No technology, GPS technology, or car markings are available for the runners. And this year, he just handed everybody a simple little watch, and that was set to the official race time, and that's all you get. So you got to navigate yourself. And every year when he picks the books, they're always special with special titles and very entertaining. And so then when you come back, like I said, you get a new bib each time because you got to tear out your bib 12. You got to tear up pages 12 out of all 10 books. And you got to come back in, show them all your pages, and then he checks you off, and then you got to go back out and do another lap. Most runners struggle to complete one loop. is considered a high honor to complete the fun run, which is 3 laps within 40 hours. If you drop out, you surrender yourself to at the Yellow Star Gate, and taps is played on a bugle to symbolize you're tapping out of the race. And so the finishers that we've had, shouldn't be hard to believe that there haven't been that many finishers over the 3 decades the race has been around. The fun run wasn't even completed until 1988 by Frozen Ed Furtaugh when it was a 55-mile race. After that, it took until 1995, 7 years for someone to complete all 5 laps. Only 5 individuals can call themselves official Barkley finishers by completing all 5 loops in 60 hours. Here's a list of all the finishers. First finisher was Mark Williams in 1995, then Dave Horton 2001, Blake Wood 2001, Ted Kaiser 2003, Mike Tilden 2004, Jim Nelson 2004, Brian Robinson 2008, Andrew Thompson 2009, Jonathan Basham 2010, Brent Maughan went 2011 and 2012, Jerry Ferguson went 2012, Jared Campbell, who did a fun run this year, 2012, 2014, and 2016. So yeah, that's why he didn't do it. It was an even year. Nick Holland was 2013, Travis Wildebor was 2013, and the last person to finish the Barclays is John Kelly in 2017. So now we've gone 4 years without anybody finishing. And, you know, you can definitely check out other references. You know, there's the Runners race from 2011, Runners World Classic Notorious. The Barclay has gained fame, The Race That Eats Its Own, and Where Dreams Go to Die. So that's kind of some information on the Barclays. I'm sure next year will probably be even more popular and crazier than ever. And everybody's still waiting for that first woman to finish the race as well. So thank you guys all for the support. Please hit the subscribe button if you would. And as always, stay healthy, be boring, not epic, except maybe when you're at Barclays, you definitely got to be epic because it's going to be an epic event.